You're listening to episode number 113 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Hell yeah.
Welcome to episode number 113 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Yes, you heard that number correctly, 113. But before we start the comics world, we want to take a moment to a moment of silence. Yesterday, I believe it was afternoon, it was released that former artist Joe Kubert, who's very famous for Sergeant Rock,
as well as Hawkman.
As well as Hawkman and a ton of other DC stories. I know he, a relatively great inker as well. All around great guy. And founder of the Joe Kubert School of Art, who has produced so many great artists that we know today. You've probably seen
this list
in the comic books.
Should I write off a list real quick?
Not right now. He passed away at the age of, it was 85, correct?
Yes, sir.
He passed away at the age of 85. The last thing he was working on was, the Before Watchmen Night Owl series. So right now, we're not gonna talk about that. We just wanted to say our respects to Joe and his family, Adam and Andy Kubert, who are also artists, and to the entire Kubert family, and to basically thank this man, Joe, who's, you know, one of the foundations of the Silver Age of comics and helped build the foundation of what the comics industry we know as today. And, you know, the fact that he was still producing work well into his 80s. You know, only, I think he did an original graphic novel called Don Juai, a war graphic novel sometime about a little 2 or 3 years ago. So, if you're new to the comics game, you're not in history, look up Joe Kubert, respect him with honor him. He's a true former veteran of the comics industry. Rest in peace, Joe Kubert. You will be missed by the entire comics community. Do you have anything to say about Joe Kubert before we move on?
Much condolences to, you know, his sons and any other family he's got. Man was a phenomenal artist. God bless him. God be with him.
Arnold, Brian, any of y'all?
Though I didn't read much of what Joe Kubert, much of his work, I do know that even well into his advanced age, he still saw fit to keep the industry going by giving us new artists, people who I read books from every day, Amanda Connor, Alex Maleev, Shane Davis, Rags Morales, all of them are great, great artists, and all of them learned their craft from Kubert and the school that he saw fit to bring into the world. And so, though I don't know much about Kubert's work personally, I know of the superstars today that he's given us because of his skill and his craft. And so I respect Kubert all the more for that. And, just, he's in my prayers. God be with him and his family.
And Arnold, anything to say?
Both of you guys pretty much hit it. Some amazing, amazing art and helped to bring out some even more amazing talent out there. So he's definitely going to be missed. He's one of the greats, man.
Alright, and again, if you haven't done it already, have a moment of silence for Joe Kubert, you know, Sergeant Rock would, I don't think Sergeant Rock would be the same character, that we know if it wasn't for Joe Kubert, his contributions for it, so.
And I'm also pretty certain he created the incarnation of Hawkman that we all know about.
Yeah, right the Carter Hall sort of aspect of it, yeah. He didn't create a Batman, a Superman, or a Spider-Man, but he's very much one of the
hard. Hey, Hawkman's a badass motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? I mean.
Yeah. You got a guy with a mace. You're not gonna exactly run towards him. Alright. Rest in peace, Joe Kubert. Vaya con Dios. But, let's move on from less melancholy news to, some ecstatic news that mainly my idiotic brain failed to compute. Obviously, we've been talking about the Marvel Cinematic Movie Universe with Ant-Man, Avengers, Thor, and Captain America, but there's one franchise that we all really loved last year that we've been speculating on sequels, and officially, we know that sequel's gonna be happening for this movie, but now we have a title, which is X-Men First Class, not gonna be called X-Men First Class 2, the final exams, but rather it will be called X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum.
Ooh.
Which, if you haven't read Days of Futures Past, let me give you a brief history. Days of Futures Past was a two-part story. Yes, you heard me correctly. Two-part story back in the, I believe it was in the 80s. Maybe it was the late 70s or early 80s, one or the other, in which the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants tried to assassinate, I believe it was Robert Kelly. Because Kennedy was dead at that point. And in between that, you had the running storyline of that, because of certain reasons, I believe because Kelly got murdered, the future just went to shit, and that Sentinels now ruin everything, and that's where Rachel Summers first appeared. Franklin Richards was there, and they wanted, and of course, in that timeline, the very first sort of alternate post-apocalyptic mutant future, the very first one, you know, I think every X-Men was killed but Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, who had, I believe, just joined the team. So it's a very thick story. It's, you can find it, like, the, it's not collected by itself, but in the X-Men Essentials and the black and white stuff, you can read it there. Damn good two-part story. But now, it seems that not only are they gonna try to do this story, but they're also potentially thinking of using characters, actual actors from past X-Men films, including speculating that Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart will be reprising their roles as both Magneto and Charles Xavier in this film, as well as potentially Hugh Jackman reprising his role as Wolverine, which could be for at least their, like, Fox trying, I guess this is their way trying to emulate what the Avengers, what Marvel Cinematic Movie Universe is doing, but that would be so fucking cool. You would have James, not McAvoy and Michael Fassbender and that group, I wouldn't say interact because I don't think it'll happen, but, and then parallel that with the franchise pretty much that started big budget superhero movies in the X-Men with Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman, and Patrick Stewart. Like, I think that would be cool. And, you know, it seems to me like they're still setting it in the, it's going to be a time period, what is this, the word? Like, it was like the last one was set in the 60s, maybe this one was set in the 70s, maybe the 80s, who knows? But this has me really excited just to implement this idea and sort of excluding X-Men Origins Wolverine because nobody gives a fuck about that movie and X-Men The Last Stand because that, as far as I'm concerned, that movie did not happen.
I still like it!
And you're wrong. So, I am very, that, this, this, that the fact that they're using this plot idea, this story idea is genius to me. Arnold, what do you think about Days of Futures Past?
I think it'd be cool. I want to see how they incorporate it. I'm quite a fan of that storyline myself. So I find it interesting and at the same time not surprised that they would try and use that as a way to link this to the other movies. I'm sure some people would hopefully think that they see it as a future that they'll see is fucked up and then they'll come back and prevent it a week. Kind of like those movies don't exist. At least half of them. But it could be cool. I dug the first one. It was the surprise hit or fan favorite of the summer that all those movies came out. So if it keeps up on that steam, I'm totally down for it.
Taser, what about you? What do you think about X-Men Days of Futures Past?
You know, It's an interesting name. It's a play to get nobodies and noobs. You know, the play on words is there to go, I don't understand. And of course, people who've, you know, heard of the storyline or have read the book are going, dude, they're doing Days of Future Past. Whoa. But actually, wasn't it Days of Future Present, I think?
No, it's Days of Future Past.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, so it's going to have that, you know, automatic grab, you know, the dude bro effect. Whatever. I'm not going to say I'm going to downplay it. I just, you know, despite what we, you know, just talked about, heard here, I need to hear a little bit more before I give, you know, a semi-decent thumbs up, a thumbs down. I will be paying attention. I'll say it like that. Other than that, I can't really add anything. I at once think using the title is cheesy, and I completely understand why they did it. So that's where I'm at.
Brian, what about you?
Well, I've never actually read the storyline, but I know enough about
you
it.
You suck!
It's a two-part story. How have you not read this?
It's on my list of things to read beyond so many other stuff.
It's a fucking two-part story.
Just like Watchmen, which he's never read.
I read Coulthard Watchmen.
Has never read Watchmen.
Anyway, getting back to Marvel, the bit of casting news about maybe bringing some of the old X-Men actors back to play their future selves is actually pretty damn cool. I'm excited for that, because as far as I'm concerned, especially when the reviews started circling for First Class, it was called, I think, like a spiritual successor to Singer's X-Men. So for it to actually have some facets of that trilogy in there, including two of probably the greatest parts of those movies, which include Magneto and Professor Xavier, it would be awesome. And Wolverine, well, who gives a fuck? He's in fucking everything anyway.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, though, I mean.
Yeah, but he's in every single movie.
I mean,
every single one. He was even in the last movie.
You're right, but he's also a really, I like seeing
Wolverine now is like Wolverine back in the 80s. He's in fucking everything.
You mean
he's a monetary draw.
Whatever.
There you go. But I also, not even from an actress, I like seeing Hugh Jackman's portrayal of Wolverine.
No, I'm not saying he's not good at it, but I'm just saying it didn't surprise me in the least when rumors like, he might be back. Well, of course he might be back. He's fucking Wolverine. Anyway, I'm excited for it.
You know, I'll say this. If we actually get a Sentinel out of this, or better yet,
yes,
a shit-fuck ton of them, then I'll be a happy camper.
That's the one. That's one of the many things that pissed me off X3, and that, like, I don't...
Yeah, they effed it up. I thought it... Yeah, like you, I thought, Sentinels! And then it was just a training sequence.
These bullshit people who say that 50-foot things don't work anymore. This is a different... Like, bullshit. People will go nuts if they fucking see a Sentinel.
Hells yeah. I would be psyched if we got Sentinels in this new movie.
Sentinels are, like, the ultimate mutant boogeyman. You need to do... I'm surprised, like... They need to do fucking Sentinels at some point in the X-Men movie franchise. It just has to be done. They're a staple. And not fucking Nimrod, where he's like the same height of a human. I'm talking about purple, tall,
giant purple robots with big old blasto fisties.
Master Mold. You know what I'm thinking?
Master Mold.
Master Mold, the guy who created the... you know what I mean? You know who I think... Didn't there was speculation that they wanted to turn this around the Kennedy assassination?
Well, no, they only said that would open up as like a wink to like, hey, we're in the real world.
Assassination is the reason why the future gets all fucked up in mutants. Maybe in this universe, Kennedy tries to make it okay for mutants. But because he's killed by the Brotherhood, maybe not by Magneto, but by the Brotherhood in and of itself, and they have to prevent his death or something to that degree. I'm not a story man, but I don't know. There has to be a political killing.
So why not just make it Kelly anyway? It doesn't have to be Kennedy.
Maybe Lyndon B. Johnson, because Kennedy, because, you know, maybe, to me, I want it to be a real person.
Why?
Because I want it to be. It'd make it a much more interesting person, make it interesting.
To use a real character instead of a character who... Let me ask you this.
Because they've already used Kelly in the X-Men movies now, and he was already an old man, it wouldn't make any sense, and they want to tie the continuity together.
Yeah, but is the, yeah, but that's in the first three movies. Do...
I'm blank on this.
Are we, you know... Never mind. Go ahead.
What if it's not Kelly, but it's Warren Worthington's father? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to use a actual political figure, a real life person, which I don't see the problem with doing that, if they want to do Kelly, it would be problematic because he's already well established in the first couple of movies, and he's pretty old, and he would have to be, I don't even think he would be actual politician back in the 70s or the 80s or whenever, unless, depending on this movie takes place. I just wanted to be a actual political figure. I think it'd be much better if they did it that way.
They'll probably just make a Kennedy and be done with it.
I mean, they are. You already live in a world where mutants exist, where people with powers exist. Why not make it a little bit more surreal and just have them interacting
with people?
You know what?
I've got an even better idea. Let's make it Obama, and then it's, you know, Sentinels piloted by black people. That's right. The blacks rise up
the
to
black
strike down
Sentinels.
Our mutant oppressors. Damn right. Blacks riding on it like Cadillacs. Yee-haw! They're doing bounces and everything.
They put the Sentinels in blackface and then they spray over the windows and can't see anything and then they crash
right.
them all and die
you
and
know,
burn.
You know, they're pulling out their EBT cards and getting stuff.
I don't have anything
you
to
just
say
scuffed
about
my Sentinel shoes!
No, not really. I mean, I don't think they need, it doesn't have to be a real world. If they do go that whole Kennedy thing, it's honestly probably just going to be to set the mood of the era so you kind of know what time frame we're in and stuff. I'm not sure if it's going to come hugely into play.
Maybe they'll murder Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr.
Like,
too.
Somehow, like, the fight going on between the X-Men somehow led up to the Kennedy assassination. Like, don't pull some bullshit like that either, because that's just unfair.
No, you really want to fuck with it? Make it the murder of Sarah Palin.
Oh,
You
because then all you'll get is Ion Fan doing the eye rolls over and over again.
But dude, dig it, imagine that. They have to save Sarah Palin or else her world goes to shit.
Die! You betcha.
Oh my god.
Where did this go? We were talking about X-Men at some point, I think.
Alright, well let's steer away from the political talk. Let's move on to our next topic, which is, last week we discussed the creative teams for Marvel Now, but now we are actually getting some, not interiors, but some art, cover art for, I believe it's, Brian, correct me if I'm missing anything, Deadpool, Thor, God of Thunder, FF and Fantastic Four, as well as, all new X-Men, Avengers Assemble, which will be taken over by Kelly Sue DeConnick and Stefano Caselli. Kelly Sue DeConnick, writer of Captain Marvel currently. I believe we also got a Hulk.
Yep.
Indestructible Hulk, by the way.
Ugh.
And am I missing
Captain America.
And Captain America by Rick Remender and John Romita Jr. Apparently, and also there's some story bits that I remember, Captain America, the new first villain is going to be called the Green Skull.
What?
No relation to the Red Skull.
What? That's some bullshit.
It's Remender. He's done so. He made a character called the Crime Master. A lame ass name. Seemed cool. So we got that. Apparently Thor, God of Thunder, is going to be dealing with the past, present, and future of a God killer. So Thor's going to be taking on somebody who kills gods. And those covers that they did for Esad Rivik. The SR by SR Rivik is just like fucking awesome. He's like, he's perfect for Thor. Yeah. And of course, Deadpool shooting puppies?
That confused the hell out of me.
Are they kittens?
They're kittens.
They're kittens.
Kill a kitten.
Does he have kittens and puppies. It's both. It's kittens and puppies.
And of course, we got Indestructible Hulk, some cover art, which, like, Hulk, he has some kind of robot thing. I don't know if it's following
skeets.
Him, but I don't know if it's following him, but
he got
that's funny.
Oh my god.
Hold on, is it me or does he look like he's kind of wearing armor there?
A little bit, yeah.
The big old poster from the Marvel Now showed him wearing a bunch of armor, or what looked to be armor.
Except I just love it when super strong characters wear armor.
Then they look like they're like straight from the 90s as opposed to just reminiscent of.
Ugh. And of course, the people are disagreeing on the quality of John Romita Jr.'s cover for Captain America Woo-hoo. Number 1. I like it.
Right here. This guy.
So what do we think of these? I want to say, first and foremost, my favorite cover of all these so far, and it made me actually just going to pick up the book, is FF, the cover by Mike Allred. I don't know if it's going to be exactly weird or insane once the book actually hits. It may be the most normal thing ever, but that image just screams Mike Allred. And that to me says Marvel's like saying, here's the toys. You and Fraction play with however you want to play with them. Do what you want. And that to me seems yes. So I cannot. FF has quickly jumped to my most anticipated book because I just want to see the shit they're going to do with that title. Captain America, of course, is what I'm going to be reading. Thor is interesting simply because of Asad Ribic. Deadpool just looks fucking insane. But it has Tony Moore on it, so that's a plus. What do y'all think about these covers? Favorites, least favorites? Green Skull people.
I can't believe that's real.
You said it in an interview.
I don't know if that has me more or less intrigued for Captain America. I would like to try again picking up Captain America because I've actually never really read a Cap ongoing, so I figure now is as good a time as any. That's my cup of tea fine. That cover, it's not horrible, it's just the parts of it that seem off. Like the shadowing and such, like we were discussing before the show. But a cover is not a deal breaker or maker for me picking up a book all the time anyway. Thor, not sure if I'll be picking up. I do like the art. I do like some of the stuff that Jason Aaron has done, but I don't know. Indestructible Hulk, no. I like the creative team, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I'm ready to jump into another series and my pocket's hurting already as it is. the cover is nice. I don't know if I would like it. I'm not sure if it's been said anywhere if the interior art is like this at any point as well. I feel like for a whole issue it might be a bit much, but it is a nice cover. I do like it. There is something machiney and robotic about it, so I want to know what that floating thing is with the Hulk, if it's following him around or if it's chasing him, whatever the deal is. Deadpool, again, I don't have much interest in it. The cover is hysterical. And I don't think that's Deadpool shooting the cats and dogs. I think that giant monster is trying to eat said cats and dogs, and Deadpool is shooting it.
Deadpool has a sauce pot for puppies and kittens.
So, but
of course he does.
It's all kinds of ridiculous, and who else would have a cover like this but Deadpool? So, again, that one's got the most interesting creative team of them all. I think that this is the creative team that came out of nowhere for most people, and nobody was really expecting this team, especially with two comedians on board. So I'm intrigued to see how it goes. I'm sure Brian will keep us abreast of all of that.
Will do.
So, yeah, Ben, you are so on your own for Marvel Now FF.
You really are.
It looks so weird.
It does look weird, but not weird that I'm ready to invest $2 to $3 to $4 on. I've seen some of Allred's stuff. I do like it. If I'm not mistaken, he did the art on iZombie, correct?
Yes, he was I
wasn't seeing that for a while. So I like his art. I've seen a lot of it. It's just, I will totally judge a book by its cover this time around, and this looks like this is not the book for me, sir.
He's the king of pop art comics.
I've read, Ecstatics, I've seen my fair share. But I gave up on FF a while ago, and I'm really not, there's really no point where I was like, damn, I wish I'm still reading FF, so no need there. Fantastic Four looks cool, but again, this one's not necessarily going to be a bad book, but affordability. Maybe I'll get Taser's 5-finger discount. and check it out that way. But it's, I do enjoy the cover very much. I like it. It's kind of a nice classic. And I do like the, I'm still a fan of the new Future Foundation style costumes, and I'm glad they're sticking around. And did I get it? Is that all of them? The Assemble book, I haven't cared about. I will continue to not care about. Yeah, I got one. That's me.
I'll say this before I hand it off to Taser, but that cover for Fantastic Four with Mark Bagley, the inker who's inked them is, I believe it's Alan Davis's inker, and that made, before I looked at it was Bagley, I actually thought that was Alan Davis doing the cover. I'm like, is it Alan Davis? No, it's
actually
Bagley.
I'll agree with that because I thought it was Alan Davis too for. I thought it was Alan Davis.
Shows what so, you can do. I mean, Bagley isn't the greatest artist ever, but I mean, you put him with an inker like that, who's worked with Alan Davis all his life, you know, if it's gonna look like Alan Davis, it should be at least look good. Taser.
Yeah, but isn't that's a bit of an insult. If you're, you know, Mark Bagley's art should look like Mark Bagley, not Alan Davis.
Well, no, know? But I think that it's not like, I don't think it's insulting. I think he should be honored to be working with a great inker. Like some inkers, just like I think.
No, I don't think I have to disagree with that.
I don't think it is.
I don't think the inker.
It looks better.
Because you like freaking Alan Davis more so than you like Mark Bagley.
Mark Bagley has a tendency. He's very fast, and his pencils look really rushed. So if the inker who did for Alan Davis can smooth that thing down a little bit. And it happens
no,
to look like Alan
but not
Davis.
Not to that effect where you make one guy's art look like somebody else's. No, I have
That's
to
That's what Jerry Conway has done for years, and he's doing fine.
Yeah, but who has he had his art turned into, or whose art has he morphed like that?
Just look it up. I'll say that. And I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
Where, like his art, like when Jerry Conway would ink somebody, it's basically just him drawing. That's how much he inks. So, like, to me, it says more that the Alan Davis look is not all Alan Davis, but it's the inker. I think it's Mark Farmer. I think it's more him than all Alan Davis, and that he's a contributor.
Okay, you're alone on that one, DJ. Okay, that's all I can tell you. Insofar
I'm
as
right.
Yes, and you're also Texan, so that says everything.
That's
Thor. I don't have any real interest in reading Thor. I'm sorry. The art looks interesting and don't care. Incredible Hulk, Invincible, Indestructible Hulk. Don't care. The Hulk with the freaking hover buddy, you know, my buddy, I go, he go, nah, I don't care. And then he's wearing he's like Superman. He's got techno pants on now. What the fuck is that?
He has a filth buckle.
He wants to look hip.
No.
That's what the cool Hulks are doing.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry. Good luck you and good luck Wade. No, thank you though.
But Bruce, all the cool Hulks I
have. Yeah, right. Deadpool, I'm half tempted to pick this up just to find out if Deadpool has a shoot kitties and puppies gun, because that would so totally be worth wasting time to find out. I actually mean that. If he actually had a gun that did that, or if he's shooting real bullets at somebody that's shooting puppies and kittens at him, I'm totally, totally willing to waste time reading that story. let's see what else we got here. Fantastic Four and FF. Pass. Fucking pass. FF.
Okay.
No, wow. Rather, Fantastic Four, meh. Meh, 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 meh. Does nothing for me. Hasn't done anything for me in a long time. Was actually interested when they did Future Foundation, and then they went right back to normal, you know, just effed everything up. And who was that? Was Fraction, right?
No, that was Hickman.
Same thing. They're all the same. Fuck him. Anyway. and then FF.
I think you say fuck him to Hickman.
Both of them, because they both their books suck. I'm saying it. I'm making blanket statements because I'm Taser and I do that. FF, I got to be honest, no. What is that? Ant-Man with like taffy anti-gravity loopies around his feet? What
the
hell is that?
The springs.
Springs? The springs. Springs that go from his feet up to his hands.
Yeah, the springs.
Since when does Ant-Man have springs?
Since Reed invented them for them, I guess?
If this is Scott Lang, he's not an inventor like that.
I said Reed invented them. Reed is an inventor.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Reed would have invented something that would have been on the back, not something that he has to hold his palms out and go, hey, look at me, or everybody, maybe I'm having a concert by myself. No,
it's like he's pretending to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay. The Incredible Ant-Man. It watches I hover by holding my hands up and Taffy dangles from it. No, thank you. And then Thing, Miss Thing, Thing
oh,
Chick,
God.
Whatever the hell. No, no,
oh,
no,
God.
No, 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 no. Freaking Medusa, yeah, like we haven't seen that before. And then She-Hulk looking, I mean, shoulders down, and it's no neck, and she's dead. Like, what is that? Oh, come on. No, no, pass. Freaking
haters.
Pass. Pass. Captain America, Ninja Captain America. I'm saying it. If that's actually his costume, I'd buy it. Well, not buy it, but I'd read it at least. That might be an interesting update look. You know, no face. That might be something I could work with. But we all know that that's likely not the case. So it's just, and, you know, I mean, it doesn't sell me on anything. That Captain America does absolutely nothing aside from go, Captain America. You know, what? You know, let's put some explosions in, like, maybe some broken Nazis or broken Hydra or...
So when a cover does something unique with FF, it's bleh, but when something does something ordinary, Captain America, it's not enough.
It's still bleh. It doesn't do anything. And you know, FF... FF.
Fuck FF.
Exactly, thank you. And, you know, later for this Captain America, it doesn't sell me. There's nothing, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't go, hey, open me up, which I know is something that Snooki says too often, but still in all, you know, you know, pick me up and do with me as you will. There's nothing that pops on that cover. So, I mean, why would I bother? You know, like I said, if there was a hint at him having that shadowed ninja looking face, if that might be something that was going to, you know, a hint of something that might be going on with Captain America, yeah, but we know that's not the case, so again, it fails. You know, it does nothing. Avengers, pass, 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 pass! And X-Men Days of Future, like I said, if we get Sentinels, and I'm not talking, like you said, I'm not talking Nimrod, but if we get big 50-foot Sentinels.
I don't know why you're reverting back to a topic we talked about already, but whatever.
Because I want to. I want big freaking Sentinels, okay?
Self-cut this part out.
3, 2, 1. I want Sentinels in my X-Men Days of Future pack. That's actually the highlight of all the new stuff that I've seen right now, because Marvel now is Marvel blah. There's nothing now that I feel I have to rush out there and waste my time investing in. So, yeah, Marvel now for me is Marvel no thank you.
All right, well, there we go. I'm excited for Marvel now. Mike Allred,
of course you don't let me talk about the covers. Why would you?
Because nobody gives a shit about you. Why don't you say something then?
Oh!
I was waiting my turn to be passed off to, okay? What the hell is wrong with you?
Explain the Deadpool cover. Go.
What? It's Deadpool. What's there to explain? That's about all there is.
Is he shooting puppies and kittens, or is somebody shooting puppies and kittens at him?
I'm pretty sure the Godzilla-like lizard is vomiting kittens and puppies at him as weapons.
Yes, that means he's shooting puppies and kittens.
Yes, yes. A projectile vomiting of small animals. That is what's happening in that picture right there.
But I still want him to have a kitten and puppy gun. I want that to happen.
I'm sure Marvel he has one.
Happen.
I'm
I
sure he
so.
Has one.
Do I get to talk about FF or are you just gonna cut that anyway?
Nah, whatever. I know you don't like it.
Yeah, okay, let's move on.
Alright, well, nothing, none of the other covers? And you've already...
Fine. Thor looks awesome, as per usual, with Saad Rivik. I really missed him since he jumped off Uncanny X-Force, and I will totally pick that up.
He's been doing both Ultimates. For... You've been reading him.
Yeah.
Well, he was.
He was actually, he wasn't on old. Well, not re- he was, but not recently.
Don't act like he's been away.
Well, no, but it's just, you know, I'm looking forward to him doing an awesome book again. And Jason Aaron plus Saad Rivik, that's awesome. Indestructible Hulk. Yeah, I can look past the adjective in front of his name, I suppose, because it is Mark Waid, and it is Lionel Yu, so, you know what, why not? I'm really interested to see what the fuck is up with that little Skeets-looking thing, though. I really want to know what the hell that's about. Deadpool, I mentioned. Fantastic Four. Yeah, I actually thought it was Alan Davis, too. I didn't speak up earlier, but that is exactly what I thought when I first saw it.
Which is one of the beneficiaries of Mark Bagley's artwork, I'll say.
Yeah. Captain America. I really hope it's Ninja Cap. Ninja Cap would be cool. I would read that. Avengers Assemble with DeConnick and Caselli. That'll be cool to read. And I know I didn't give you a post notification, but the all-new X-Men, Bendis and Immonen, it looks fairly interesting.
It's part of a bigger piece from Bendis has said on Twitter. Like, there's more to that cover.
Oh, cool. And also, just on the all-new X-Men poster, the guy whose last name is Von Grawbadger, best last name ever.
He's been working in the comics industry forever.
I have never heard of him up until this point.
You read Fear Itself. You saw his name 7 times.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Go look at your Fear Itself issues. It'll say his name on there.
I will, but I never noticed it until this point.
How do you not notice a name like Von Grawbadger?
That's what I'm saying. It's weird. Okay, so Von Grawbadger is awesome, hands down. And I think everything's been set up. Instead of me going off on a tangent and just ranting about FF, I'll let that pass, because pretty much everything's been said that needs to be said about that.
Because it's awesome.
Don't tempt me. And that's all I'll say on the covers for now. All
right, so there you go. FF is awesome. It's going to be the greatest thing ever, and I'm going to make it the book of the week every single time it fucking comes out.
Oh, Ooh, fuck yeah. You.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to our book of the week, a.k.a. the book I gave the least about for 2012 with Gambit number 1.
This one's for you, West. This is for you.
Not even for you. I don't even know why I did this. I'll say this. It was very average. I thought it was very...
Somebody shut that dog up!
I thought Someone it was very it okay.
Somebody get Deadpool.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was... I was bored out of my fucking mind. I just wanted it to be over. I kept thinking to myself, like, Clayman's art was nice. I don't know, like, I've seen this work before, but I don't give a shit about Gambit in a solo setting. I gave this a shot because I like Gambit to a degree. I don't think he's the greatest thing ever, like a lot of people my age do, because of the cartoon. But I'm just like, you're much more interesting when you're with other people who are way more interesting than you. So, I think maybe it's because it was due to a long work week, but I actually nodded off while reading this. That's how bored I was. I'm pretty sure the Gambit fans will love it, and if you're a fan of Gambit, you'll like this book. Nothing technically is wrong with it, but, you know, as you can see, my dog doesn't like it, so I'd give it a 2 out of 5. It was just so average, and that to me is worse than bad. Because at least with bad, you can fucking laugh at it. But yeah, how the hell did somebody pitch this? Like, who said, hey, we need a Gambit book, ASAP? You know, you've been great with Captain Marvel and Hawkeye.
We all know that Wes has inroads into the comic inner sanctums. So I'm pretty sure Wes has a hand in this.
He slings them their crack.
At least it's not a Ben Reilly ongoing. At least, like, I can tolerate Gambit having a book. It's fine. I'm not going to pick up the next issue. I don't even read Gambit when he's in an X-Men title. You know, he's only interesting when he's a cartoon character. So, yeah, 2 out of 5 for me. I don't give a shit about Gambit. Arnold, I think you do give a shit about Gambit, though. What did you think of this issue?
He's still reading it.
He's still reading it.
I like Gambit. I'm
not so sure how well he works as a solo character. Didn't he have another limited series a while back? Was it only like four? Yeah, he's coming up. I know we had like Gambit and the Externals and stuff like that. I think I at least like reading him better when he's with somebody else or the leader in an ensemble such as Gambit and the Externals and such. This was just kind of eh. Aside from the shot at the end with whatever the fuck that was that pulled a matrix going in through wherever it went through in its chest.
It was Starro.
There was nothing else that was like, oh man, I really gotta pick up next issue to find out what's going on. That was like the only thing. The very, very last page. I found it a bit rough to get to, which kinda sucks. I mean, I enjoy Gambit, but did we really need a Gambit solo series right now? Is it limited or is it supposed to be ongoing?
It's an ongoing.
Oh yeah, I don't know how much ongoing it's going to be unless it picks up some steam soon. Obviously, it's only one issue, but for like your premiere issue, it was kind of just eh. I guess 2.5 out of 5.
All right, B-Rai, what did you think?
Yes.
What did you think of Gambit number one?
I do agree with you, Ben. Nothing was explicitly wrong with it. But for pretty much the first half of the book and then for a good chunk of the end, I was just sitting there and reading, and in the back of my mind, I was just saying, and do something, and do something, and do something, and do something already. And then we got that one little scene where he's going on like Ocean's 11, and then we go right back to what he was doing before, and it's just, and do something, do something. And then something penetrated him, giggity, and I really don't know what the motivation was for this. I don't, you know what, I take the heat for recommending this as book of the week. I don't know why.
But to read.
Yeah, really, that was about it. But like you said, nothing was really wrong with it. I mean, the writing and inner monologuing was solid. The art was good to look at. I mean, it wasn't bad. It doesn't really have a purpose. It's like, it just kind of there, you know?
It feels like this should have just been a 4-issue miniseries versus announced. I'm pretty sure it's going to be canceled by 6 months, but, you know.
You said it was already canceled before the first issue even came out.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure they already canceled the book.
They got like a microscope on this one, but no, it's just, because Gambit isn't even my favorite X-Men, you know, when he's in a group setting, as most of you have said. And
he's
so,
popular, like, with the people who grew up, like my age, who grew up with the 90s cartoon, because like, he's a huge role in that.
Yeah, even then, I didn't take a liking to Gambit, just because I didn't. Like, what's his shtick? He throws playing cards and he has a staff.
It's not that. I mean.
Which,
I
know, by the way, we have a convenient lack of in this book. There's no exploding things, there's no staff. It's just
He just uses the cards, but he charges things and they explode. He just happens.
I know he does that, but that's not the point. The point is we don't get any of Gambit that is what people like about Gambit in this issue.
Not what the cover says. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, the cover's a lie. Actually, the Botulo variant's actually pretty much closer to what it was, really. But regardless, like I said, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. I'll give it a 3 out of 5, and that's being kind of generous, but unless, like, all kinds of awesome exploding shit happens next issue, I won't be paying for this at all.
Taser, what did you think of Gambit number one?
I'm going for the quad opinion. This book was... I mean, there was nothing, it wasn't bad, there was nothing special, there was nothing to make me go, yeah, pick up issue number 2. The art was okay, the art was pretty good actually, I like the art. But the story was just, okay, yes, he's sneaking into some place, and he got into some place that has a lot of stuff. And I'll give a nod, I actually looked up the registration number for the plane that was hanging in there, because I kind of figured who it was, but I just had to be sure, and yeah, I confirmed my suspicion. And everything else is like, oh yeah, you got that in the background, oh, okay, ha ha ha. But the rest of it was, you know. I will say though, because of the art, I looked at Gambit and it finally, something finally clicked for me that I'm kind of surprised I had never considered before. If, and it kind of pisses me off that they used him in, Wolverine, X-Men Wolverine, but if they were ever to do a real mature Gambit, you know, and unfortunately it's a missed opportunity, but you know who could play Gambit? Seriously?
Who?
Kurt Russell circa Escape from New York. Kurt Russell circa Escape from New York would have been a perfect Gambit. I mean, saying he could get the accent down and everything, I think he could have pulled that off, you know?
I was going to say Sawyer from Lost, but sure, that works too.
Yeah, you know, Sawyer looks a little too brawny. You know what Sawyer is? Sawyer, give him maybe another 50, 75 pounds, have him put on some muscle, and, you know, give him fangs. He could be like Sabretooth, you know? Make him young Sabretooth before he's, like, fully bulked up. But, you know, he's still got the talons and he's got the fangs. Like, from the first X-Men series, the one that I reviewed, last week. He could be that Creed. Early Creed. That could be Sawyer. But, what's his name? Kurt Russell, definitely,
I would love to see that. Actually.
That would be interesting, but, you know, I guess you'd make Goldie Hawn his rogue.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the story, yeah, okay, and, yeah, The story wasn't bad, but it was boring. It doesn't hold you. It doesn't really pull you in. It doesn't make you go, ooh, what's gonna happen? It just kinda does its thing. And unless you're a Gambit fan, you know, you have no real impetus to come back. Even that final bit with, you know, the yellow Starro, that's not enough of a thing to make me come back for issue two. So, I'll say, if you're a Gambit fan, go get it. You'll probably like it. Thumbs up, more power to you. If you're not a Gambit fan, leave this alone. It's not worth the time. So, I'll be nice and give it a baseline 3. Because I did like the art. I thought the art was actually pretty good. But other than that, it's not worth further time, you know, invested from me. Sorry.
All right. Well, I guess it's a shock that we're all in unison about a book. Yeah. I don't like. It's again nothing's technically wrong with it from a technical standpoint, but it didn't hit the buttons that it should have hit. Especially for a guy like a character like Gambit, who has a huge fan base, from my understanding.
Yeah, that's what usually my last girlfriend said.
So, what's the how many issues are you giving? I say 6. Brian, what are you? How many issues?
I'll give it 8.
That's generous. Arnold, how many issues you give this book?
I'm gonna be the wild card. I'm gonna give it 12. A whole year.
Oh shit!
All right.
Taser. Was that how many Moon Knight hit, or was that?
Moon Knight was 12. Moon Knight was
12. Okay, yeah. I'm keeping an eye on it for that comparison. I'm going to watch it for that.
Okay, freaking A-Train took what I was going to say, so I got to... okay, forgive the way I'm saying it, but I got to come in between A-Train and Bride Rock and say 10 issues.
So 6, 10,
hey, stop touching
year,
me.
6, 10, 8, 12. All right. Of course, I think it's going to get the chopping block fast. All right. Well,
and
okay.
Wes will have every issue. There you go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not. I mean, Gambit's never had an ongoing before. I know he's had limited series before. To me, just like with Doctor Strange, he's a limited series character, more so than Doctor Strange.
You only thought that because the latest Doctor Strange was black.
What? No.
Doc Voodoo.
Not Doctor Strange, just Doctor Voodoo. Not the same guy.
I miss Dr.
All right, so let's move right on to individual reviews. And because it was the only other Marvel book that I read, I am taking the penultimate issue of Spider-Man, number 4 of 5. Obviously, at the end of last issue, we left with Peter Parker crying over arriving at the house of Aunt May and Ultimate Gwen Stacy. This issue was the confrontation – not confrontation, but the meaning of that. And basically explaining who he was – how he was, where he came to be, and sort of the it was a great sequence of seeing of like sort of the if you were to meet an alternate version of somebody you knew, of alternate Gwen Stacy talking about talking to Creed Parker, and I just love the fact that he just dodging the question like, well, what am I like? What am I like? What happened to me? And you and to like knowing who Peter Parker is, every time he tries to say something without saying what happens to her, it's just breaking his heart each and every fucking time. I'm just like, oh, poor son of a bitch. And of course, like the unbelievable, MJ's a supermodel and like they can't believe it, which I found hilarious. I completely forgot how MJ was in the Ultimate Spider-Man. So I was like, oh yeah, that's right, she's not exactly like this. And, the best moment was, between Aunt May and Mary, and not Mary Jane, Aunt May and Peter Parker, and, you know, sort of them meeting together and, you know, that in, despite that he's gone here and somewhere else, he's alive, and that no matter what the universe is, Uncle Ben still inspired of them, you know, and I thought, you know, that realization, is he alive too? But, you know, he's not. And that, you know, the realization is he gets to see her, basically her son again, you know, like, I don't think he's, happy, I think it's more, you know, Aunt May saying is more happy to see Peter alive versus the other way around since he already has an Aunt May, in the regular universe. Having Peter Parker saying, mine stopped drinking years ago to Tony Stark, which was pretty fucking hysterical. You know, I thought this issue, and of course now they're gonna go take down Mysterio. I thought this issue, just like the last previous three, was awesome and great, and that, you know, if you're going to do a crossover between characters that cross dimensions, this is how you do it. This is not about Peter Parker meeting Miles Morales. This is about Peter Parker entering the world ultimate universe through the Spider-Man view. And that you had to do these meetings. You know, I can only imagine the pain that Mary Jane had in her heart when she saw her dead boyfriend come back to life, but much older, but it's not really him. You know, of course, knowing he'll never be back. Seeing Miles play with
you saw him reach for her too. Sorry to interrupt, but you like saw him like almost go after her, where it's like,
well, yeah, because it's like it's MJ from another universe, you know?
It's like, a teen MJ, all right.
That's what I like about high school being girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
The power of love is not gonna allow this. But anyways, so you know, I thought it was funny to see Miles play with the web shooters. Like, oops, you know, he's like, he's got web shooters. So I'm wondering if he's gonna get web shooters in the actual book. Because I know he doesn't have any, right?
Nah.
No.
So maybe he'll get some. But, the second favorite part of this book was when, he's like, do you have Nick Fury you're from? Yeah, he's
white. Yes!
And, Nick Fury goes, sorry to hear that. That was fucking awesome. That was great.
Oh, you mean the part about him, his Nick Fury being white?
Yeah, he goes, sorry to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was funny too.
That was fucking hilarious. You know, so MJ's sad, which is typical. But I thought this was great, and to see Peter jump into battle with both Miles, Thor, and Iron Man at the end, you know, to take down Ultimate Mysterio. I really enjoyed this. I liked it. It has hit in the beats that I feel like it should have hit. Great art as usual by Sarah Pacelli, who's fucking fantastic with not only the action moments, even though there were no action moments in this, but the character as well as the talking heads moments where Bendis excels at. The cover's a little weird because Miles isn't exactly dying, but whatever. They probably just told Jim Jones to draw something. Here, draw
a Spider-Man. Cover lied to you? No way. No way.
And Deadpool isn't shooting kittens. So yeah. So yeah, I give this a solid 4.9 out of 5. It was near perfect. I just thought it was, again, like, I think it's gonna be read better once it's all, I can read it all in one sitting. But yeah, this has been like, I was very hesitant about this idea at the beginning, but after reading this and whatever the last issue is going to be, unless it totally bombs, because that can happen, especially with Bendis, this has been an enjoyable ride. Do you have anything to say about this issue?
It was an okay read. That's really it. It didn't faze me a whole lot. There were some good lines. It kind of behaved the way I expected a somewhat maudlin story like this to play out. I wasn't disappointed, nor can I honestly say was I impressed with this portion of it. I'll stick around because the next issue is the last one, right?
Yeah.
So I want to see how it ends. But altogether, this story has not been a real big surprise. It hasn't.
I like it. Maybe it's because I'm sentimental from reading Swamp Thing. But like, the power of love, baby.
Also, I just want to say real quick, I enjoyed the Tony Stark moments in this book as well.
He was written exactly like ultimate, like movie Tony. Exactly. The sort of talking fast kind of thing.
Is your Tony Stark an alcoholic too? No, he actually doesn't drink. I like him better already.
That was funny. Arnold, did you read this issue? Did you happen to like it?
I did like this issue very much. I'm still very much a big fan of this series. Mostly, I enjoy it because it's not your typical quote-unquote superhero team-up of we both landed here, let's beat the shit out of each other until we realize we have a common goal, and let's go defeat that common goal, okay, the story's
over. They did beat out the shit out of each other for a little bit, too. So.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, of course, you've got to do that. You've always got to throw that in there because it's inevitable. I'm digging it a lot. These are the moments that, like I said when we started talking about this in the beginning, these are the moments that I was looking forward to from this book, and I am glad that I'm getting. So I'm
all I'm gonna I'm gonna see Peter's comments on Thor. Like, where the fuck did you get that hammer? All right, well, let's go ahead and go to Taser, who's closely saying goodbye to Avengers Academy with Avengers Academy number 34.
You know, this was actually a pretty good status changer. Unfortunately, they did something which made perfect sense within the context of the general storyline and in the Marvel Universe itself. Basically, that Jeremy Briggs, the one that got away. And the one who could also screw at all of them because he was intelligent and smart like that and he was capable. He contacts Hazmat and, the Crimson Skull guy, cause I can't remember his name right now, who are like, you know, sitting all dejected on a beach and they tell him that he's got a cure for her. And dudes, you gotta come over here. I got something for you. Right. So she puts out the call and, you know, she lets people know, there's stuff going on. You know, I'm going to need some backup. You know, guys, please come with us, blah, 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 blah. And you see where the others are. I did like where, Reptile and White Tiger were. They were with Jennifer Kale, who, freaking metal bikini chick. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And, you know, Reptile's standing there with, you know, the freaking crystal in his chest. And, you know, I'm like, he's standing there topless and metal bikini magic chick. All right. You know, anyway, you know, they were doing their own little investigative thing about their magic talismans, whatever. They get the call and, you know, it passes on through the others. Interesting that, what's her name? Crap. The chick who does the, you know, ability mimicking and X-23 had ended up in the Savage Land because they were looking for some place to set up shop. That just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It was an interesting image to imagine and comprehend. Sensical, especially for these two women? Nah, not really, but whatever. You know, I don't always look for common sense in my storylines. So they, you know, move on and, you know, we found everybody all gathered together and he, you know, lays on the, Briggs lays on the information about, you know, curing Hazmat and, Vale, she steps in and she tells the group, you know, the group assembled that she's been cured, and you come to find out that Briggs used SpinTech. And as soon as that name was dropped, I slapped myself in the head and went, you effing retard. That makes sense. You know, we're talking about the piece of BS tech that they created for, that Tony Stark created back during the Civil War days, or rather post-Civil War, that would remove everybody's powers, regardless of what that ability is.
Really?
Yeah, so that it would work here, okay, why not? You know, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And then I'm kind of wondering, why didn't they attempt to do this before? I understand with Vale, yeah, her powers were killing her. That it might not even work with her, but for Hazmat, that should be like kind of elementary. I would have done that first. And it's not like she wants her powers, you know? I mean, if they took her powers away from the, you know, completely, this girl would not be upset. I would have thought that somebody, you know, like Pym or even Stark himself might have gone, hey, don't you have that chick who's living in a, you know, hard radiation suit? Yeah, toss this at her. See what happens. There you go. But anyway, you know, everybody's congratulating Vale on, hey, I'm not dying anymore, even though she's still kind of wearing the costume. And, you know, Briggs just, you know, talks about how, you know, Spintech works and what he's done and blah, 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 blah. And he talks about how he's modified it into an aerosol form. And, you know, she, you know, sprays it into, she takes and, you know, she wants to do this. And, you know, some of them are like, well, hold on, wait a minute. You shouldn't do this because, and she's like, I don't give a damn. I want out. You know, I'm tired of living like this. And I'm like, yeah, it completely makes sense. This girl had the same problem as Rogue, you know, being locked away and not being able to touch or be touched. You know, you have to feel sorry for her. So, you know, there's a discussion going on back and forth about whether she should or shouldn't. It carries on without her, and you see her in the background, she applies it. You know, like one of that, the asthmatic deals. And she takes off the helmet. And holy crap, people don't immediately die. She's free. Tears in her eyes, everything else like that. And then they talk to Metal. Yeah, look, I actually remembered that without actually seeing anything. I remembered his name. They tell Metal that they can do the same thing. The only difference with that is that they'd have to regrow his skin, but it's a process that can be done. Woohoo! Yeah! All right, Metal! Woo! Yeah, let's get some skin on. And they actually go about doing that. They grow Metal's skin. He's got a face, and I guess he was supposed to be Hawaiian. But they grow his hair back exactly the way it was before, and I'm kind of like, ah, okay, but whatever. But Metal looks normal, and the two of them actually kiss. I'm like, yeah, slap a tongue. Woo! But then, of course, here comes the kicker. Freaking Briggs talks about, you know, look at all the good that I've done here. You guys should jump on board with me. You see what the Spintech can do, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, some of them are like, well, you know, yeah, that's all well and good. But, you know, he's talking about taking that, his modified version of the Spintech and dosing the whole planet, you know, because, you know, the supers, they're not helping the world. They're part of the old problem. I'm fixing the problem. And he just wants to take everybody's powers away who are causing problems, regardless of whether you're a hero or villain. And, you know, of course, you got people who are like, whoa, 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 hold it. Whoa, whoa, chill with that. Hold the phone. And, you know, then he drops the bomb. The Spintech, the aerosol form that, you know, he gave to Hazmat, all of them have been breathing it for the entire time that they were there. He shuts down Jocasta, and she proceeds to, I mean, she just falls to her knees. It's like, oh, he pwned them. This is freaking hilarious. You know, freaking Lightspeed loses her powers. Lightning Dude, he's done. You know, yeah, I said Lightspeed already. But then you've got the magic people. Freaking Reptile, he gets pwned, which was sad, because it shouldn't have happened anywhere near as fast as that. Not only does he get kind of rendered ineffective, but then he gets the, that Geminis just taken, ripped right out. You know? Now, I know A-Train and DJ Ig aren't going to like this. X-23 gets ridiculously shut down by a big chick. I'm serious.
Really?
Chick grows big, she goes, bam! And, then, you know, it's just like holding her there. I'm like, are you serious? She can't... you see her arms free, she can't reach back and stab nothing? Come on! You know? But he tells them all that, you know, there's... there's an antidote. You can have your powers even under spin tech, but you know, you have to do what I say or else blah, 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 blah. And Finesse, yeah, see, I finally remembered her name. Finesse, she kind of tells him, yeah, go stuff yourself. And she's really the only one in a position to thwart him. And what she does causes a big bit of chaos, big explosion. And, you know, a bunch of them, you know, managed to get away. Some of the others, they kind of stuck. You know, what's his name? Lightning Boy. He kind of throws in his, you know, it seems like he's throwing in his lot with Briggs, but I'm willing to guess, you know, that's a ruse. Meanwhile, we see the others, you know, lying at the bottom of a pit. And, well, it doesn't look good, you know? I mean, you got Reptile, Finesse, Lightspeed, and White Tiger, you know, lying there looking unconscious. And this is, this is actually, that's how the book ends. I'm interested, you know. I want to see where this ends. I also want to see this guy Briggs get his head ripped off, because I don't like I really don't like people who talk up a great game and say, yeah, and while I'm out saving the world, I'm also going to take and bleed off half of his riches and take all the women because I want to.
Not
deserve
the
it.
Women.
You know, yes, I think, yes, give me Snooki, give me Snooki.
Oh. Oh, God.
But anyway, this was a good book. You know, I when I read this, as soon as she gets cured, they help, he actually manages to help Metal, and he uses it using easily available tech that freaking Pym should have had a clue about it, if it wasn't for the fact that they were so busy trying to teach them superheroics. I'm pretty sure that somebody would have had a clue, like, hey, you know, what about this over here? But, you know, that kind of, you know, it would have ruined the story, you know, if they would have made them not have too much of an issue. You know, it messes with the drama. I love this. This was a good issue, especially over the, you know, considering the last couple that had to do with Avengers versus X-Men. Thank God that stuff is done. Get us back to the proper stories. I'm going to miss this book when it's gone. I give this issue a 4.7 out of 5.
Too bad it's canceled. All right. Let's go to our weekly Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. Deadpool, Brian, do it away.
Yes. Okay. So it's issue number 2 now. This is post-Deadpool finally snapping like a twig. And this is about a week or so removed from when he actually went nuts. We're kind of given like an exposition news report about how many people have died so far. We're shown clips that people like Ghost Rider, Doctor Doom, and Howard the Duck have all been shut down. And Beast, Hank McCoy, has also made that list. Following that, we cut to Spider-Man and Deadpool duking it out in the middle of New York City. Deadpool takes a pretty hard fall, and Spider-Man's, you know, doing his typical thing, you know, deriding Deadpool for who he's killed, trying to fit in some banter and stuff. And Deadpool, of course, is still raving mad. He's like, you know, you're lucky I don't kill you for what you've done. And he's like, am I? Do you think they would let you break character even if you wanted to, breaking the fourth wall again? Finally, we got Spider-Man picking up Deadpool with a honch, just kind of being like, you know what? I don't want to hear any more of you. You know, you're done. And Deadpool puts the gun under his chin and pulls the trigger and blows his brains out. So you can chalk up Spider-Man to the list of body counts so far. He even continues to make jokes about, like, past storylines and shit. He's like, Spider-Man no more, huh? You know what all those better psychopaths you were bragging about should have tried? A gun, and just kind of walks away from it. And we see more of the little red boxes now get continually inside Deadpool's head. But they don't seem to be completely controlling him. He's kind of now starting to think, question it like, well, you know, what should I do now? I want to do something big, something spectacular. And he's like, no. No, that's the old Deadpool talking. You don't need to impress anyone. And he's like, but it's what I've always done. It's what I always will do. And the voice continues to press him, keep it simple. Deadpool ultimately complies to killing people, but he's going to do it his way. And so he decides to go for something big. And that leads him to Avengers Mansion, where we see a meeting of, you know, your standard fare for Avengers. Iron Man, Cap, Ms. Marvel, Thor, Spider-Woman, Wolverine, Luke Cage, Hawkeye. And they're discussing recent events and stuff. And they're talking about how maybe some of the heroes have gone into hiding, or if Deadpool has actually killed them. We learned that Deadpool actually killed Iron Fist while we were away. We saw that happen. Hank Pym's gone missing. Black Panther and Tigra have both also been killed. And then Jarvis is actually the one who busts into the meeting, and he says, hey, Dr. Pym is missing, you know, what's going to happen? Turns out Deadpool killed Pym, stole all the Pym particles, and used it to warp a bunch of explosives right onto the damn meeting table and blows every single one of them up.
Oh, what the fuck?
That, like, Wolverine's skeleton is just smoking, Iron Man's gone, but we do see the two people actually end up surviving, which is Luke Cage and Thor. Now, the way he takes out Luke Cage is pretty simple. He's actually dosed Luke Cage's coffee with extra explosives so he can take him from the inside out, because, you know, unbreakable skin and all that. And then he decides that Thor, you know, he's kind of immune to explosives, so he comes up with another creative way of doing it. Thor hurls his hammer at Deadpool. He misses. Deadpool dodges him. And then Deadpool shrinks Thor with the last of the Pym particles, and when the hammer comes back around, it crushes Thor underneath it, like a bug. And so he's just kind of standing over him. It's like, what can I say? Have at thee. And then he plays Got Your Nose with Thor's corpse. And he makes a joke about raining men and women, or at least little pieces of them. And then he's kind of like, okay, well, the Avengers are done. You know, you just destroyed Earth. The Red Box is continuing to coax him on. He's like, you just destroyed Earth's mightiest heroes. Everything else should be a cakewalk from here on out. And then we get an image of the Hulk decapitating Deadpool. And Hulk's kind of like, he's just flipping out. He's like, you hurt Hulk's friends. You kill Hulk's enemies. Only Hulk gets to kill Hulk's enemies. And Hulk just kind of walks away, wanders into a cave, and lies down after he's killed Deadpool and goes to sleep. When Bruce Banner wakes back up, Deadpool's standing over him. You shouldn't rip me apart and then take a nap. You wouldn't like me when I've been ripped apart, and slices his head off. So, for those of you at home not keeping track, that's Ghost Rider, Doctor Doom, Howard the Duck, Beast, Spider-Man, Hank Pym, Captain America, Iron Man, Ms. Marvel, Spider-Woman, Wolverine, Hawkeye, Jarvis, Luke Cage, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, as well as Fantastic Four, the Psycho Man, the entirety of Ravenscroft Asylum, and Watcher the Watcher from the past issue, all dead.
Motherfucker.
That's in two issues. And then we finally get one little bit of something else at the end. We see a collection of people all who have lost members of their family, loved ones, etc. This coalition consists of Aunt May, Mary Jane, Trish Tilby, Alicia Masters, Melita Garner, and Rick Jones. They collect all their possessions worth anything, and they hire the Taskmaster to go and kill Deadpool for them. And that's where the issue ends. I honestly don't know what else to say. I think it speaks for itself how much Deadpool has taken the hammer to these guys. It's ridiculous how he's coming out with all these ways to kill them. And again, this voice continues to poke and prod him, being like, you need to kill all of them. You need to do this. It's like, and Deadpool actually thinks, like, it's probably you, been you from the beginning, the compulsion that makes me wanted to kill anything in the first place. And he's just like, now you've quieted the other voices, and so this is just what I'm going to do. And it's crazy. And I really just want to see what happens next, because the preview for next week's is the X-Men. So now he's going to be targeting Westchester more than likely, and we'll see how that goes over. But it's just, it's insane. And it fits well for Deadpool, because it is so insane. And I just want to say the immense amount of satisfaction I got from seeing some, like, one scene in particular at the beginning of the newsfeed shows Howard the Duck roasted on a platter at a dinner table, and that just made my day. That just made me smile, because that's fucking hilarious.
Howard the Duck ain't hurt nobody.
It doesn't matter, because Deadpool's going after everybody. And I still don't know what the deal is. We don't know who the voice is in his head, what made him snap. It's just, he's motivated to kill everyone, convinced that he just needs to because the voices are telling him to, and he wants to know what's beyond their world. Who is watching them? Why are they doing this? Why are they making us dance and love and die like little puppets? He continues to rant about the fourth wall being there, but everyone thinks he's crazy. Nobody knows what to do about it, and Deadpool doesn't even really know what to do. He's just going through the motions, doing what the voice says, and killing everybody in his path. And it's absolutely bloody as hell, and but more than anything else, it's entertaining, because holy shit, this is Deadpool killing everybody. I mean, I don't know what Cullen Bunn has thought about, like, I don't know what he thinks about when he writes this shit, but good on him for it. I'm, no pun intended, I'm dying for the third issue. I really, really want to see how it turns out. It's just, oh my, 5 out of 5. Holy crap, I need a cigarette.
Do you think that this gave you as much pleasure as the Gambit issue gave for West? just wondering there.
Yes, I think it gave me more pleasure. Yes.
All right. Last but not least, let's go to Mr. Arnold Alfred.
All right. I'm reviewing Venom number 22, which is the last Remender issue.
I'll be bowing out for this because I forgot to pick it up because I thought 21 was his last issue. I'll be away.
You are one off. In this issue, it was very nice, all around closure issue. Very much, you know, Remender's kind of send off to himself on the book. It mostly involves Venom going around and he's actually hunting for Jack-o'-lantern. And while he's hunting on Jack-o'-lantern, it's kind of a reflecting on his life, and you get a lot of flashbacks of his father and how abusive he was and everything like that, and how, you know, it's almost, you see little bits of maybe the symbiote starting to take over him some, and he's feeding into that anger and, you know, trying to process it all in his head. And on top of that, all of the stuff that he just went through with his family and Jack Lantern killing his brother-in-law and losing Betty. Like, it's just an all around bad day. And to top it all off, it's also Father's Day. So that's where the reflection on his life growing up, and he finally tracks down Jack-o'-lantern rather, and takes the quote unquote high road, and instead of killing him, arrests him and brings him back to I forget the name of their tower that he is with, the Secret Avengers. Does anybody remember where that was? With the Secret Avengers, wherever it's called, they have him locked up there, and it's implied he pretty much lays out the entire story, everything that happened with Jack-o'-lantern and all the stuff that just went down in the previous issues. And it's like, look, that's all of it. If I effed up, then kick me out. If not, you know, that's it. That I owned up to it at least, and that's all I can say. And kind of walked out. Not quitting the team, but just left the room rather, walked out. All in all, it was pretty good. The art was really nice. It was very reminiscent of McFarlane at moments. It had that kind of feel to it. You can see that Flash is getting into, forgive the pun, into the swing of things. You can tell by the way he moves and flows through buildings and stuff like that. He's starting to get that Spider-esque feel to him, you know, him being a big fan of Spider-Man and all. It's really good, and I'm intrigued to see where this goes. I know some people are dropping this after Remender is done, but I'm still going to be continuing on with it. I would say, all in all, I will give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, Venom.
Well, okay. There you go. Those are individual reviews. Tell us what you thought of those books. But we're going to be talking about a particular topic that happened in a book we didn't review, which was New Avengers 29, which was apparently the reuniting of the Illuminati. Of course, the Illuminati formed with Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, Iron Man, formerly Namor, and now Captain America. Black Bolt. I forgot about Black Bolt, but he's off the debate. The issue that Taser actually brought up, so let's give credit where credit is due.
Wasn't Taser contributed?
No, he was there initially. He told him, you guys shouldn't be doing this, and walked away.
Right, yeah, he walked away.
He didn't like the idea. So, but basically the idea came, and I don't know how this issue ended out, so if y'all read the issue, let me know what happened. But the question came up, does the Illuminati have a moral obligation, is that how you worded it, Taser?
Yeah.
To use the Infinity Gems to fight the Phoenix Force 5, the best Japanese pop band in recent memory. And I've not reading the issue, just thinking about it as itself. I say no. Simply because I'm not going to go based on some mythological thing. The last time Reed himself used the gem, he nearly went drunk with power with it and thinking of what he could do with it. And, of course, if you look at the Phoenix Force 5, and, of course, with power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. You don't fight a horrendously big fire with another horrendously big fire. You don't use the Infinity Gems and expect it to only use them once. That's not how those things work, especially for, you know, Tony Stark may be an effing genius, but those things will control you and manipulate you.
Go on.
It's the power of what you can do with it. Specifically, I'm more worried about what Reed would do. All of them are susceptible to it. And to me, while it could be a way for them to eliminate the Phoenix Force Arc, we don't know how the Infinity Gems, one cosmic force would react with another. Would that necessarily even work? Could they even erase the Phoenix Force 5 out of existence? I don't think so. But I don't think they should. They don't have a moral obligation to use it. You know, it's worse than a nuclear bomb. You can't use those gems. They know what those gems are capable of. If they do that, they are no better than what the X-Men are doing right now. Scott thought using the Phoenix Force was going to be beneficial to mutants. Now look what he's now. That same reasoning could apply to the Avengers if they use, or to Illuminati specifically, if they use these gems for, sure, at first, it's the Phoenix Force 5. What's next? Then it's next, it's this and this and this and this. So no, they don't have a moral obligation to use it. They don't. I truly stand by that. Those gems are too damn dangerous to be used by those people. Look what fucking Thanos did, and he knew what he was doing. Taser, you obviously don't agree with me, so.
Not at all. Thanos did not go insane because he had the gems. The gems do not warp your sense of perception.
It warped Reed's.
That's Reed. Okay.
And he's Reed. The one who's, all it takes is one person. That's all it takes.
So then don't give it to Reed.
He's
got five other guys there.
He's in the group. He's going to want to steal them.
Yeah, F him. Okay. Hell, Captain America's had the freaking cosmic cube. I'm not hearing that. Freaking Xavier's had his man expanded over, I think at one point, over the cosmos. I know he certainly touched every mind of the planet. No, look, you know what Reed is? Reed is a pragmatic man who upon having his mind expanded to such a degree where he could tap more than just his own, would go, the possibilities, and would find himself lacking the self-control and the willpower to not exert himself over the universe beyond the direct need of eliminating these stupid fucking mutants, okay? And that's all I'm talking about. We're not talking about, as soon as, you know, the Phoenix Force 5 is done, how about I just go and take it and make it so that there's no more racism? We're not talking about that, you know?
It leads to that, though. It could.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Power corrupts absolutely. Having a cosmic cube could lead to that. Having a car could lead to you hitting somebody.
It's not the same league as having fucking Infinity Gems of the Phoenix Force 5, though.
Yeah, but we're still talking about a possibility. Anything is, you could take somebody's life with a spork. Okay, the likelihood of it is what we're talking about, and I don't think that, barring Reed, I don't think that Xavier would necessarily fall for that. I don't think Cap would.
You don't think
Tony might have the this sense of will to, you know,
hang back. I think he'd be tempted, at least.
He might be tempted. I'll give you that. But I think Tony might, considering what he's going through over the course of his life, I think Tony would be able to pull it back and, you know, keep it together. Reed is another story. Reed is an egoist. Okay, and yeah, he would be susceptible to it, especially if we're playing Reed, who doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to Sue. Okay, if it was, you know, kind and doting husband Reed from like the 80s and early 90s, then yeah, I'd say that guy would probably go, no, I'm gonna just do this, and hey, you can have these shits back. But if it's the guy that they like playing with, the guy who sided with freaking Tony during Civil War, and said, yeah, I saw all this stuff happen, and, yeah, I kind of side with the government. Yeah, fuck that guy. Okay?
And that's the guy we're playing with.
Well, then you don't give it to him. You take his gem and you give it. I would trust Cap with it. Modern day Cap, as much of a stinking liar and a shady, you know, underhanded double talker as he is, I think he would still have the presence of mind and the strength of will to keep it together, to only do what he needed to do. And all we're talking is just taking the power out of the five of them, making one complete, you know, phoenix, so to speak, and then caging it. Because we've seen, I think the phoenix, we've seen, what was it? I think Galactus fought Rachel once, I believe. I think Galactus fought Rachel as Phoenix. And I think she managed to make him back off. It would have been a long fight, it might have been he was hungry or some bullshit like that. But the Phoenix would not be something that could beat an IG user. And no, it's not happening. You know, an IG user is, for all intents and purposes, the most untouchable mofo in the universe. You know. I would have no problem with it. And I think having something that allows you to stop Raven lunatics, because let's be real here. Look at Colossus. The man was giving whales lobster legs and making them walk on land and then going, yeah, you know, I thought they'd like, you know, being able to, you know, traverse, but I keep forgetting they can't breathe in air. They need water. Okay, let me make some more and then see what else I can do. I mean, this is where the guy was. Now, I haven't been reading the individual issues, but that right there tells me, yeah, he was losing touch. His sister was clearly losing touch. Freaking Emma just went and embolized somebody. Namor just... That was just Namor being Namor, but he just had the power to do what he was going to do. And we just saw what freaking, what Cyclops did. And we know without even seeing the next issue, you kind of know how that one's going to go. You know, he's a man on a mission. You know, he might be the most level headed out of the five, but I still wouldn't trust him. You know, I wouldn't trust him with my back. Not at this point. You know, fuck Cyclops. So I say, hell yes, they have a moral obligation to the people of the planet to use, let's say, device.
You don't fight cosmic artifacts.
Yes, you do. If you have a bigger fire, or better yet, you have a pimp smack hand, you stomp it out.
And when that fire gets out of control, it's on their heads. And they
who
don't want
says
that.
It gets out of control? Name somebody.
It's bound to get out of control. It always
name
goes that
somebody
way.
Who's had the Infinity Gauntlet and went out of control because of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Reed Richards.
Not because they were already touched.
Reed Richards.
No, the gauntlet, not the gem, dude.
No, he had the gauntlet. He had all of them. And he was going nuts.
But that was Reed everything. Richards. Because Reed Richards is an egoist. And he, you know, the possibilities, I can't say it. I didn't read it. Okay, I can't really speak on it. But that's one person out of, what, five or six that we've known that held the Infinity Gauntlet and didn't go nuts because of it? So you know what? That's a failing of Reed Richards, not something inherent to the Infinity Gauntlet. I disagree with you wholeheartedly, man. I think even if you don't have to give it to Reed, you've got other people there.
I wouldn't trust anybody with those gems, even if, especially not Reed, but nobody there to me should even touch those gems or use those gems because you don't know what those gems could do when, especially somebody who's not prepared to handle them. You don't have
really?
A moral.
So tell me something. Would you trust them to look after them?
To hide them, yes, because they're not being used.
Okay.
Not to use them.
Uh-huh. Well, that's where you and I did disagree, man. You would let the world burn because
they've taken down.
Better that they eff it up, you know. Better that they burn.
Granted, it's taking a little while, but they've taken down. Namor's gone down. Plus, both Colossus and
they
Magic
willingly
are down.
Gave up their power. Okay, we didn't get to see it, but they willingly gave up their power, and Namor lost his because he got pwned.
But they still took him down without him. So, granted, it took some heavy losses with it, but some
exactly.
It's much more dangerous to use the Infinity Gems. It's much more dangerous to do that.
Okay,
again, you don't fight cosmic fire with cosmic fire. You don't
fight fire with fire. Tell me something. Who else were they going to do that to? They couldn't do that to Emma and Scott. They didn't have the manpower. And look what Emma's doing. She's going around just mentally pimp smacking people. I'm sorry. I cannot agree.
It's like that movie A Clockwork
like
Orange
with
the guy just sits there watching shit and it's like, no!
It's too dangerous to use those gems. It is too dangerous to use those gems.
You don't trust people.
They flat out have to. Like, it's mandated, but it's an option that should be discussed. Like,
just
this issue. I'm glad that this issue happened. It's something that should come up. Hey, just FYI, we have some stuff that could possibly really fuck this thing up. Maybe we should think about breaking that out. It's like the atomic bomb conversation. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to do it, but the conversation...
Oh, I agree they should be talked about, but they shouldn't use it.
The conversation...
Better yet, the ultimate nullifier, same deal.
You wouldn't trust
Reed with the Infinity Gauntlet, but you trust him to build an ultimate nullifier.
Just send him to the negative zone.
See?
That's the answer to everything. Send him to the negative zone.
But they could break out, as we just saw Scott. He could break out of dimensional barriers, so, you know, what stops?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, that's only with the addition of Colossus and the magic powers. As far as it goes, them, whether or not deciding they should do it or not, I don't think they owe it one way or another. I'm not saying they shouldn't. It's just, I don't think it's their call to make that decision. Like, who asked them to get together in the first place? Who asked them to go around collecting the Infinity Gems? Who asked them to hide them from the world? And it's like, they make it their business to take their nose where it doesn't belong, but then they never do anything. It's like, they're just apathetic. That's really it. They don't do shit. Where were they the hundreds of other times shit like this was going down? They were sitting there with their thumbs up their asses, and it's just
they got the Infinity Gems so that nobody else would get them. That's the reason.
Yeah,
they were doing something. It's just they were hiding in the shadows.
They were doing something by doing nothing. It's just, I don't know. Just the way I see it,
it's better to protect those and hide those knowing you have them. It's better to have something, just like the gun argument. It's better to have it, not use it, than not have it at all, have somebody else have it, and then use that against you.
Yeah, but the whole purpose to you having it is so that if you need to use it, you use it. This is the same thing, just like, look at Ophir itself. Hello? Freaking Odin's big brother shows up, almost kills Bucky. Well, he has a supplicant almost kill Bucky. Pimp smacks the planet, drops a whole bunch of other wannabes who stomp the fuck over, one of whom fucks France, okay? And you mean to tell me that, well, no, they shouldn't use it, even though, yeah, they should hold on to it so nobody else gets it, but they shouldn't use it. Let the world go through what it's going through because it's better that way. That is morally irresponsible.
Also, doesn't the general Avengers population know about? Didn't this become public knowledge? Like when this new Avengers arc started, didn't they find out?
They know about the Illuminati. That's why Captain America's there.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, why isn't why isn't a less morally inclined hero, like someone rallying for this shit to happen? You know, why don't we see someone being like, hey guys, bust out the Infinity Gems.
The only guy who can see that doing Wolverine, and even then he wouldn't do it.
The rest of the Avengers and stuff don't know all the like extra details and shit. They don't know what they have. They're just aware that that the group exists.
I think they knew they had, no, because at the end of that Infinity Gauntlet arc with, the Hood, they thought Tony had wished him away.
Right, I forgot about that.
So they don't know that they don't have him.
Forgot about that arc.
They don't, so again, the secret in this continues no matter the fact that it ended.
Yeah,
except that now Cap has got one. That's
and Namor showed up. Yay!
He got Black Bolt.
But you know what's the funny thing about Namor? Namor showed up. Everybody, freaking Xavier, he gets all misty. You guys blame me for everything. And
son doing this. No, it's not. What are you talking about,
Cap? His adoptive son.
But he accused them of blaming him, and it was like, it was really one-sided. You know, he's like,
screw you, giving him.
Exactly. And then he had his fit and he ran off.
When the kid runs amok, who do you blame first? The parents.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's
you blame the television.
You blame the music and the video games.
You blame Marilyn Manson for teaching your kids this crap.
Welcome to 10 years ago.
Yeah, so the freaking Strange leaves, and Tony goes, I'm going to go get drunk later, whatever. And he bounces, and Tony's just, I know he'll come. And, you know, of course, she shows up right after, and then talks to him like, you know, I could have you hop in my knob. I just want you to realize that. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it's like that. So, and that's really how that conversation ended. Freaking Cap asked him if they could, you know, cease fire and everything. And he said, fuck you. Kiss my ass. Nah, this is our time. And, you know, then he leaves him there. And you know, it just, you know, it was a story that I think kind of needed to happen, you know, because those two men have a special history. And considering where those, you know, particular men and you know, where those men stand in regard to the gems themselves, this story needed to happen because there's no way that you could have had Avengers versus X-Men go on and then also know the fact that, well, yeah, they got this. And it's never brought up. That's just that's an oversight of ridiculous proportions in my book. You know, I'm glad Bendis told this story. I understand exactly why it ended the way it ended, or else, you know, we wouldn't have.
Deus Ex Machina, and then everybody gets mad because it ends this way.
Exactly. But in regards to the obligation, I don't think we've heard from A-Train yet. So please, dude, go ahead.
Yeah, I chimed in. I had said before, I don't know if they're necessarily, like, you are mandatory to use it now, but, like I said before, it's a conversation that needs to be had. You have that stuff, and you have the potential to do this. Let's weigh the pros and cons of this. If the pros outweigh the cons, then by all means, fucking use them. If it's, you know, the destruction of potential destruction of the whole Earth by these people, or use to teach gems. Yeah, the destruction of the universe from this Phoenix Force, and then
not the Phoenix Force, the Infinity Gem.
That's right. No, the Phoenix the Phoenix eats planets. At some point,
and yet they couldn't even take down Satorak in his own home realm. They got bitch slapped the fuck out of there by the Juggernaut's mascot. I mean, come on.
That was a low showing. There you go. It's like all the times Galactus has been beat because he was hungry. Low showing. That's all what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's mostly where I stand on.
All right, so there you go. So tell us what you think. Do the Illuminati have a moral obligation to use Infinity Gems? Do you agree with me, Taser, Arnold, or Brian? Or tell us what you think. Who do you agree with? You better agree with me, otherwise I will find you and I will kill you. I'm just kidding. I love you. So there you go. That episode wraps up episode number 113. Interesting discussion, guys. You can find us at twitter.com/WarriorsPcast, www.thewarriors3.com. We're on iTunes, and of course, the Green Lantern Corps message board where we all met. Check out my new show that I do with Dragon and Mr. D and Koto called...
Oh, for God's sakes.
Mr. Dragon's Never Underestimate the Stupidity, a.k.a. Mr. D's Nuts.
Wow, what a plug.
D's Nuts. It's basically a show of just talking whatever we want.
Yes, Kuhan 2 has now got another show where we can listen to him sound retarded. Ugh.
And, of course... sometime this week or next week, you will be releasing, we will be hearing another episode of, the RPG show, aka the Real Gaming, Real Gamers Playing Podcast Show, which I promise you right now will probably 95% Darksiders 2 talk, even though it's already been
Darksiders
2 talk. The hit.
Surprise, Darksiders 2 talk.
The game drops this Tuesday, so of course it's gonna be the number one.
It's not like we haven't been talking about it for the last three shows.
Oh, but this is gameplay now. Now we'll be able to talk
about...
We love Darksiders 2. So, Arnold takes care of our Facebook things, and we will see y'all next week for episode...
Oh, by the way, I think we should all give a shout out to Gamera John. Yo, dude, good luck with that issue you got.
Hey, bro.
Dude, seriously. If you go, we lose half our viewership. Please don't go. Please.
Yeah, at least a good half of our viewership. But, you know, man fist, okay, because I don't do hugs.
Slash me hugs, Camera John. All right. That's going to end it. We'll see y'all next week for episode number 114. We're catching up to you, Corecast. We'll see y'all next week.
God bless you, Johnny Pesky.